So this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, through the written word and through the spoken word, may we behold the living word, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is so much in that short little verse, those two or three verses. It's hard to even imagine one sermon. On each one could be its own sermon. But here's one way to sort it out. Pay attention to the everys and the alls. Every and all. Do good always to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray always or without ceasing. Give thanks always and in every circumstance. The other thing to notice is that there seems to be a deepening to the question, how? How should we live? Do good to everyone, even when they don't do good to you. Well, how do we do that? Rejoice always. Find joy in something other than the way you're treated. Well, how do I do that? You do that by praying without ceasing. Well, and how do I do that? Be in a disposition of thankfulness to God. In other words, the Christian life is marked by three things. A disposition of thanksgiving, which leads to prayer, which then produces a joy in all things. And it's that in all things that's important. Notice that it's not saying being thankful for all things, but in all things, because there are certainly circumstances in which we do not rejoice and for which we are not thankful. But Christians know that no matter how terrible the moment might be, God will redeem us. Christians are thankful to God and for God, who can lift us above our circumstances. Back in 1998, I was on a youth mission trip to Chicago, and we spent our week working at Cabrini Green. Now, that has long since been destroyed, but Cabrini Green was an intentional project for poor folk, and at these massive high-rises right in the city, and they were never kept up, and so they became a hotbed of crime, and that was our work site. These huge high rises that were all at the same time also open. So there were these open stairwells that would just go up and up and up. They were probably 10 or 12 stories high. They had elevators, though we did not want to go in those elevators. These open, just big cinder block stairwells. And then the hallways for the apartments were just open like a like those old, those motels, when there's just a balcony with doors off of the balcony. So there was nothing that was inside anywhere. So these open stairwells, these open balconies. And our job was to paint the stairwells. It was a rough place, and in our painting, as we would go higher and higher up the steps, we would often come across drug deals that were happening and things that were making us feel a little unsafe. We had a great leader, a staff person, who was there with us the whole time. And we, through the week, actually became familiar with some of the folks there, and it felt more and more safe, interestingly. But our job was to paint because there was tons of graffiti everywhere. So we would just, with the white paint, roll over the cinder blocks. And so we did that for a day, and then we went back, and then we came back, and we returned to see what we had painted the day before had been graffitied. And so we painted it again and again. And throughout the week, every morning we would return, and there would be more graffiti over what we had painted. So the staff person we were working with, she was going to be there for 10 weeks doing this every single day of the summer for 10 weeks. And we couldn't even imagine. We were there like week three or four. Couldn't imagine how she could stay so encouraging and so, so positive with this repeated graffiti over the paint. And so we asked her how she doesn't get discouraged each week, each day. And I will always remember her answer. She said, every morning when I come in and I see the graffiti on the walls and we get to paint over it one more time, I am reminded how every morning God paints me with a fresh coat of paint so I can start the day fresh and new. And no matter what kind of graffiti I throw up on myself all day long, the next morning He paints me clean every day. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But praying without ceasing, which might be the phrase that we're more familiar with, it's the phrase I learned when I was young. And I used to think that when I heard praying without ceasing, that it meant that most every moment of the day, I needed to be praying. While I was driving, I should be praying. When I was walking up and down the aisles of the grocery store, I should be praying. When I was with my friends, I should be praying. When I was studying, I should be praying. All prayer, all the time. But that is not what Paul meant when he wrote this. The Greek word that we translate as without ceasing is adialeptos. I don't even think I can say it right. But it doesn't mean nonstop. It actually means consistently reoccurring, regularly. In other words, punctuating our days with intervals of recurring prayer, praying repeatedly and often. What he means is cultivating a spirit that is habitually attentive to God. Habitually attentive to God, keeping our hearts and minds attuned to the transcendent. It is living in a continual God consciousness where everything we see and experience becomes a kind of a prayer because we're living with a deep awareness of Him. It's almost like a reflex. To pray without ceasing means that when you are tempted, you hold the temptation before God and you ask for help. It's a reflex. When you experience something good and beautiful, you immediately thank God for it. It's like a reflex. When you see evil around you, you ask that God might make it right, and He might even use you to that end. It's like a reflex. When you encounter trouble, you turn to God, who you know will deliver you. It's a reflex. It also means that there is a spirit of dependence that permeates all that we do. In fact, prayer at its most basic is this. It is dependence. It's acknowledging that we are not left on our own or to our own devices. Even when we are not speaking consciously to God, still we have a deep abiding dependence on Him that is woven into the very essence of our faith. In that sense, we are praying continually, experiencing this spirit of dependence continuously. And that is what I think it is. I think that's what is the heart of being a Christian is a constant reflexive dependence and acknowledgement of God. And in this way, prayer is the very fabric of our relationship with Him. It's what our connection to God is made up of. And what it looks like, very simply, is that God is never far from your thoughts. God is never far from your thoughts. While He is always with us, the question then is, are we always with Him? I used to think that these two things were the same. Just like when I am with my friend is obviously with me. But I don't think it's quite the same thing. Because God can be with us, and we can be completely oblivious to Him. For us to be with Him requires something on our part. At the very least, it requires an open-mindedness, an open-heartedness, and even better, a seeking mind and a seeking heart. If you're just sitting around waiting for God to show Himself to you, you might end up waiting a long time. But if you're on the lookout for Him, you will see Him. Think of it this way. What if God is like a river? Are we a rock or are we a sponge? Are we a rock sitting in a river where the river just flows right around it, Or are we a sponge that when it's in the river gets all soaked up with God? And sometimes we get so full of God that we get squeezed out and the God love flows beyond us to others. Is God simply a distant, watching over us, helping us out kind of God? Or is God an involved in my life in both small and big ways kind of God? He wants to be that second one. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here's a true story that illustrates this well. It's about Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch woman who survived the Nazi Holocaust. She's the author of that book, The Hiding Place. Well, Corrie and her family sheltered Jews in their home to save them from the Nazis, but a neighbor betrayed them, and so they were sent to a concentration camp. While several members of her family died in the camps, Corrie survived. She was in a camp with her sister, Betsy, and the camp was horrible. In fact, there were fleas that nearly drove them crazy. They were everywhere. The fleas got in their hair, they got under their skin, made it impossible for them to sleep. They certainly didn't have any soap to wash with or anything to protect themselves from the onslaught of the fleas. They just swarmed unchecked. It was terrible. But one day, Betsy said, "I have found something in the Bible that will help us. It says, in all things give thanks." Corrie said, "I cannot give thanks for the fleas." And so Betsy said, "You know, give thanks then that we are together. Most families have been split up." And Corrie said, "I can do that. I can be thankful for that." And Betsy said, "Give thanks that somehow the guards did not check our belongings when we came in and we have our Bible with us." Corrie said, "I can be thankful for that." And she did. She gave thanks that she was with her sister. She gave thanks for her Bible, but she never once considered giving thanks for those fleas. Much later then, after the war, Corrie learned what Paul Harvey would say is the rest of the story. she learned that the guards in their camp often assaulted the women prisoners or worse. But for some reason, the guards never touched the women in Corey's section of the camp. Guess why? Fleas. They did not want to expose themselves to the fleas, so the guards left them alone. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for us, that we would be a people of thanksgiving, of prayer, and of joy in all things. What a great way to start the day, and what a great way to live our lives. Amen.